Jerry Bader Show 1023, talking with former Green Bay TV reporter Olga Haliburto, who first-generation Ukrainian-American, friends and family still there, particularly friends in Kiev, and she's been updating us Thursday and today on the amazing events. So and I want to get to a couple, three things here, actually, in about the 6 minutes that we have. So initially, after we spoke last week, there, you know, Yanukovych seems to be willing to change things, reduce his power. That wasn't enough. And you told me when I traded emails with you, you said you knew that wasn't going to be enough.
Yeah, on Friday I posted that on my Facebook page, and the Ukrainian community is very active with up-to-the-minute information from Ukraine, with live streaming feeds from Kyiv, from the Maidan, and newspaper accounts, and all sorts of first-person testimonials. And so essentially what we knew on Friday, what nobody around here reported, but what we knew on Friday was that when Vitali Klitschko is the boxing world boxing
former
champion.
Former boxing champion.
Right, and he's the face of this opposition movement. They needed someone, and he stepped up. God bless him for that. And so he met with Yanukovych and brokered a deal after that bloody, bloody massacre on Thursday that claimed the lives of 80 protesters. And so so Klitschko brings this deal to the people. He comes to the Maidan, he stands on the stage, and he says Yanukovych has agreed to reduce his powers and yada, 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 yeah. This all, everything else. And they booed him. They booed him, and they were mad. And they essentially said this would have been enough 2 weeks ago before he did all these murders, but not now. Now the only thing that we'll accept is his dismissal. He's got to resign. He's got to go. And some young man came onto that stage, and he issued the ultimatum. And he said, if Yanukovych doesn't resign by 10 a.m., we're going to storm his palace, and we're going to get him. Yanukovych, of course, heard that and fled the city. And the reason why I believe that he fled the city, of course, I don't know this for sure, I'm just suspecting this, is because his military police, the Berkut, said, hey, we're not going to protect you anymore, we're out of here. And the paid thugs, the tetushki, who have been mingling with the protesters, causing violence, pretending that they're protesters, but they're paid thugs, paid by Putin, they too said, we're done. So I don't know what happened that they decided that they are done and they don't want to continue this violence. And I believe it's the power of prayer. I believe that.
So he's essentially ousted from power. He's in hiding. In about 2 minutes, because I want to follow up with a question, about 2 minutes or so, explain what you're hearing from folks on the inside.
Right. So just this morning, I got an email from my friend Katya. I asked her a number of questions, and she said, because I wanted to get the feel of what people in the Maidan are feeling. And she said, and I'll read you some of her email, we reached many goals, but many Ukrainians don't feel themselves winners. They realize it's just the beginning. There are 75% of politicians that need to be replaced in parliament. Many of them must be arrested. So the battle just begins. Opposition parties in parliament consist of the same criminals that must be punished. So we're hearing that an opposition leader is now the prime minister and he's the acting president. That's not true. They're describing him as Western. That's not true. So what you're hearing here in American media is not true.
So that's what I'm going to ask you. So here's the biggest danger is how long will this victory last? You know, your former employer sent you there in 2004 to cover the Orange Revolution, which looked like that was, that was the beginning of freedom. It didn't work out. The thug that they just removed from office ended up unlawfully taking power after those elections. It was a fraud. In your mind, as a close observer of this, emotionally, you were there. You covered it as a journalist. What didn't the Western world do that time that they should do this time to nurture this fragile victory?
And that's exactly the word, nurture. So as far as what the folks want right now in mm-hmm. Ukraine and what would help them, and Katya even wrote this, she said, Ukrainians rule out the possibility of open Russian involvement to the East. I hope international community, USA and the EU, does everything not to allow this to happen this time. At the same time, we know for sure that the Russian agents act on the territory of Ukraine, and this conflict was organized with their support. So whatever the USA can do to keep Putin out of it, to keep Putin from meddling in Ukraine, that would be helpful. And also, I think it would be helpful just for the support, because, so much of this is emotional and psychological. And so knowing that the USA would stand with the people, to have people here reach out there, and whatever, I don't know what kind of support there is out there to help grow a democracy or, you know, democratic parties.
Headline on Fox News right now, U.S. warning Russian military, you know, stay out of Ukraine. Isn't that, you know, we also warned Bashar Assad,
right,
and with the imaginary red line, the United States is going to have to do more than talk. This goes back. We've got you got about a minute and a half, and I'll leave it to you. We heard Rice yesterday. No, we don't want to put this in a Cold War construct. That's exactly what Vladimir Putin wants to hear. It's going to take more than words. It's going to take resolve that the United States and Western Europe is really going to stand up to Russia on this.
Yeah, and that's absolutely true. It's about credibility at this point. And the U.S., its credibility is shaky right now. So I agree with that. I agree that it's going to take more than words. It's going to take some actions, whether more sanctions or whatever. But that's really on the periphery, I think, of what the government can do. I think that, you know, showing the firm resolve with the words, which we haven't gotten.
But they're also, 15 seconds, but they're also broke. I mean, what about aid? What about immediate?
That's a good point. Absolutely. And that's going to be another thing that they need to stay away from Russia.
It's going to be tempting. And that's what happened the last time around. And that's, but as you said, those who crave the freedom of the West, that's why they didn't. Okay, 15 seconds. Final word is yours.
Yes, and Ukraine does rely on Russia for energy, for petroleum, and for natural gas. But there, I've been reading on the internet that within 7 years, if they had good direction, they could be energy self-sufficient. But none of the politicians, those oligarchs, wanted to go that way. So if, in fact, they go that way, they can really sever their ties with Russia.
All right, we get a lot of positive feedback having Olga on because of your insight, and as events warrant, we will have you on again. Olga Haliburda, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
On to other things after the news. It's 10:30.
The Jerry Bader Show.